Well, we're joining with Corey. Welcome everybody out, especially those that are visiting. We're delighted that you've come. I invite you to open to the book of Proverbs as we continue to look at another one of the great themes from the book of Proverbs on the topic of money, or riches, or wealth, or silver, or gold, various phraseology that is used through the book of Proverbs. And certainly a topic that relates to everybody, because we all utilize money as a medium of exchange in our dealings in the world in which we live in. And it is found all over the world, and it's certainly a topic that was found in biblical times, and a lot of great wisdom is found associated on this topic in the book of Proverbs. And so we look to the financial wisdom that God gives from the book of Proverbs for us to give consideration to. The first point that we want to make as we will study from the book of Proverbs, that there are some things more important than money. Now, money is important in the world that we live in. We need to pay our electric bills and water bills and to buy food and groceries. We all understand that, but there are things that are more important than money, or anything that money might be able to buy. And we have some proverbs on that. First off, wisdom is something that's more important than money, or anything that money could buy. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 there, notice there in verse 13 through 15, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." We are talking about divine wisdom, not just the wisdom of this world, or the wisdom of how to be a doctor, or whatever. He's talking about, contextually of course, divine wisdom, divine understanding. It says in the King James, "For the merchandise," that is, the gain or the profit, other translations will say, "the gain or the profit of it," that is, of wisdom, "is better than the gain or the profit of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold," that is, gold that has been refined in its most pure form. "She," that is, talking about wisdom, understanding, "is more precious than riches, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." And so we learn that wisdom, divine wisdom, having divine understanding of God's will, God's word, is far more important than what the riches of this world hold. And then notice there in the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs, down in verse 10, again contextually talking about wisdom, wisdom says, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." If you have a choice, make it your first choice to seek after wisdom and put money secondarily on down the totem pole of priorities. Wisdom is far more important, the wise man is telling us. And we learn also that integrity is something else that's more important than money. Notice there in Proverbs chapter 22, probably one of the more familiar proverbs, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold." And so we learn that a good name and the integrity and the character and the reputation that goes with a good name is far to be chosen over silver and gold. Back up to chapter 19, and in verse 1, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." A whole lot better that we be men and women of integrity, that we have honor and character about ourselves, even if we don't have a lot of this world's good. Be a whole lot better that we maintain integrity and honor. Notice in Proverbs chapter 28, in Proverbs chapter 28, down in verse 6, it says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his way, though he be rich." I mean, here's somebody that has bukus of money. They've got money rolling out their pockets. And they've got all kinds of goods and possessions, but they are dishonorable. They're perverse. Well, it'd be a whole lot better to have integrity and uprightness, even though you don't have much. It's better to have a little with integrity than have a whole lot and be disreputable. And so some things we learn from the book of Proverbs is more important than money: wisdom and integrity.
Then we have several proverbs that talks about and contrast work, effort, labor versus laziness, slothfulness, and being dilatory.
Notice there in the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter there, in Proverbs the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Go to the end, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Now we're in a time when ants are out, warm weather, summertime, and just watch them. I've watched ants. Man, they just zipping along here, there, and yonder. I mean, just zoom, zoom, zoom. He'll find an ant just kind of like a sloth, moving like a snail. That's not the way ants do. They're busy. He says, "Which having no guide, overseer, ruler." And you don't find, here's an ant, and there's an ant behind it kind of biting it to get it to go. You know, come on, giddy up. Go, go, go. It's not like that. They're self-motivated. "And they provide her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." That is, they're anticipating the winter when you're not going to be out gathering food. It's too cold for insects. They have to go underground. So how are they going to survive the winter? Well, they've got to store up for the winter. And so they're busy all summer long. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep?" A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand. You'll just sit back on the porch and just kind of, just go to sleep there, folding your hands. And that's what he's talking about, just sleeping all the time. Stuff to be done, work, an activity that could be and should be done, but sleeping, taking naps. "So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Just like a robber will come and take all your wealth. Even so, being a sluggard can take away our wealth and what we have in our possession. Poverty will come our way. In Proverbs chapter 10, notice there in verse 4, it says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand that is diligent maketh rich." So if our hands are idle, we're not working, we're not doing, we're lazy and slothful and idle, and never be busy when we can be productive, well, poverty will come. But the diligent hands that are willing to work, ready to get involved and doing things that need to be done, it will bring wealth and blessings to us. Then notice in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, down in number 18, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." And what do we have? We have the instruction of the Lord is don't be lazy. We have the instruction of the Lord to be diligent, to work. God commanded us to work and to be busy. "But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." And so take to heart the exhortation to be willing and ready to work. In Proverbs chapter 14, down in verse 23, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips," or some translation says, "mere talk, tendeth only to penury, or poverty, or a lack." We just sat around and talk. Yeah, boy, it'd be a good time to get hay up. Yeah, man, just we had good dry weather, a lot of good hot sunshine. Yeah, well, how many rows we get off those fields? Sit and talk about that all day. And then tomorrow we start talking about it again. We'll get up and cut the field and get it baled. Well, then you'll know. Instead of just talking, be involved. That's what he's trying to point out there. That's the contrast, the labor. There's profit, there's benefit. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 20, number 13, it says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." You see, when you're asleep, you don't see all the things that need to be done. Just take your big nap, and I tell you, you just won't see anything that needs to be done. Open your eyes and say, "Well, you know, I need to get out there and work in the garden. And hey, there's a job, there's some fencing that needs to be done. And here's some activity, I need to get working on that car. Why, that's going to cause me trouble if I don't get that fixed right away." You see, all kinds of things. Open your eyes and see what needs to be done and work at it, is what the wise man's telling us. In the 24th chapter,
Notice verse 30. The wise man said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Well, how in the world did he know this was a slothful man when he saw this guy's field and this guy's vineyard? Well, he says, lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. I mean, here you see, it's not taken care of, it's not weeded, the stone wall that's there for protection, why, it's been broken down when it could have been repaired. Then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. He looks at this man, the slothful man's vineyard, the slothful man's field. What does he come to the conclusion? Yeah, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It has a way of robbing people of their blessings and the benefits that they could enjoy. Why? Well, because they're lazy. When they could have been involved in taking care of the vineyard and certainly would have been productive. And then notice as we study here in the book of Proverbs about financial wisdom, he says that wealth will not deliver us in the day of wrath. In Proverbs chapter 11, notice there in verse 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. When the world is afire, and we have bukus of money, and we've got a big bank account, and we've got lots of lands, and we've got all kinds of material possessions, will it deliver us in the day of wrath and the day of judgment?
Answer is no. And that's why there's a balance in war.
That is, there's some things more important than money. And that is that we seek after God and righteousness and justice and seek after the Lord and put work in its proper perspective. You see, the Scriptures, it looks and frowns upon laziness, slothfulness, people that don't want to work, would just rather sleep and just do nothing. And it also frowns upon the workaholic that just wants to work all the time to gain and get more and more and more and more and never have time for God. So those are two extremes, and neither one is commended in the Scriptures. And so if we work all the time and we accumulate and we store up and we have all kinds of money, by the day of the day around, that money's not going to help us. Not one iota. It will not deliver in the day of wrath.
And you can just write that down and count on it. And similar to that, don't put your trust in riches. Notice there in Proverbs chapter 11, number 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. We trust in God. In following after righteousness, following after the ways of the Lord.
That's what we can trust in, put our trust in God. Now don't put trust in riches. That's what Paul said, don't trust in uncertain riches, because riches can be here today, and riches can be tomorrow, be gone tomorrow. I mean, how many people, they work, and they work, and work, and work, to build a beautiful house,
and a lightning storm comes through, and strikes it, and gets a fire started. Next thing you know, the house is burned down. Well, it was here today, but now tomorrow it's gone.
Here somebody works and works and works to accumulate wealth, and they have a heart attack and leave it all behind, just like the rich fool there in Luke chapter 12. I mean, that's what we learn throughout the Scriptures, and that is, don't put your trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And so here we have some financial wisdom revealed in the Scriptures.
But we have some more from the book of Proverbs. And that is, riches or poverty can actually alter our attitudes and our speech. In Proverbs, the 18th chapter, notice there in verse 23, it says, the poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly.
Sometimes riches and people that are well-to-do, they sometimes can get the big head and feel like they're better than somebody else and look down and talk roughly with those maybe who have not. And the poor, maybe they
are always trying to entreat and be nice and try to say nice things so the rich will be beneficial to them. And of course, the solution is just always treat people right and fairly. Whether you have money or don't have money, it doesn't make any difference. We just need to do the right thing because it is the right thing. And then we learn that if we are given to pleasures, well, we're not going to be rich. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, down in number 17, Proverbs 21, verse 17, it says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." If we get involved in pleasure, he's not necessarily talking about, I don't think he's talking about necessarily sinful pleasures. Now, we could be involved in the sinful pleasures, and that certainly can bring poverty. Many people get involved and hooked in gambling and drinking and carrying on, and certainly they can waste a lot of money. That's true enough. But he that loveth pleasure, maybe get involved in video games. Well, you just spend all your time in video games, not working in your studies while you're in school. But you get really good and you can beat a lot of video games. Well, how much money are you going to get? Are they going to send you a paycheck from the video game company for beating the game? I mean, you spend all your time, you have become so proficient at a video game or pitching horseshoes. You're really good at it, or being involved in texting all the time, or on Facebook and keeping your Facebook account up. I tell you what, you can get involved and just get so consumed by those things that you forget about, you know, hey, there's some other more important things in life. And that's what the wise man's trying to get us to see, that if we love and we get so consumed by these things, we'll forget about the things that will earn us money in life. And that can happen and does happen. And then we learn something from the book of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 2, that the rich and poor, and we got a whole graveyard of people, we've got people, no doubt, that were very well to do when they passed away. Millionaires in this graveyard right out here. And we got people that they just live day by day, buried right out here. But I tell you what, they all met 6 feet under. In Proverbs 22 and verse 2, it says, "The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all." We're all going to face someday to be buried out here in the graveyard, or wherever we might be buried. All of us. We're all going to meet 6 feet under, whether you got a whole pocket full of money or all you've got is a little bit of change. We all meet 6 feet under. God is the maker of all of us. And that puts us on inequality. And so nobody ought to feel that they're better than or somehow feel that they're lesser than if they don't have much money. We have equality in the sight of God. When we meet the grave, when we meet the day that we pass from the scenes of this life and as we stand before our Maker, and someday to depart from the scenes of this life, 6 feet under the grave, it will make no difference because each one takes the same amount. Each one that dies takes the same amount to the grave. It's the same amount that you came with. You come with nothing and you leave with nothing. That's what the Scripture declares unto us. And then we learn in the book of Proverbs chapter 22 that it's possible that we can become a slave because of money. Notice there in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7 it says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The one who borrows becomes a servant, literally a slave to the lender. When we go into debt, we become slave and servitude to the lender. There is legitimate forms of borrowing and lending and paying back. Certainly, you buy a car on an installment basis, or you buy a house and take out a mortgage for so many years, whatever it might be. But what can happen is that we can just get head over heels in debt. Just begin drowning, that we are just utterly enslaved by debt. We live in a country where you get all kinds of credit card offers. I guess. I get them. So I get two or three. Seem like sometimes a day, sometimes go two or three days and just tear them up. Until I get an air mile card and then I'll send in for that one.
But I tell you what, it's so easy. Just fill a thing out and send it in. They'll send you a credit card.
I remember when Kathy and I first got married. Well, we didn't have a whole lot, and we had got some money for our wedding, so we went out and got us a couch and chair, and next thing you know, went and get some end tables, got them on credit, and had some credit cards at some of the clothing stores. Well, the next thing you know, learned real quick. You know, come the end of the month, you get a letter that says, you got a payment due. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, I had other things I wanted to buy, you know. I had other things I wanted to spend my money on. And it's like, now they're telling you what you're going to spend your money on. You're going to be writing a check to send to the credit card company or to the furniture store to make the 90-day same as cash payments. And they begin telling you, and you no longer have freedom with what you're going to do with the money that you make. You become servant and slave to the lender. That's what he's telling us, and there's much wisdom there to be learned. Probably do well to listen to the wise man and learn from the wise man when it might be easier just save up, and maybe you don't really need certain things right off the bat, and just wait and just pay for it. Be a lot better off. Maybe you don't really need it as much as you think that you need it.
But we can learn the hard way, we can learn the easy way. We can learn from what the wise man tells us or by the bad experience of somebody else.
But it's right easy to become a slave to the lender.
And then we learn from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27:24, and that is, money is not eternal.
In Proverbs chapter 27, down in verse 24, it says, "For riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation?" I mean, people look back at some of the great presidents of the United States.
Well, they only lasted so long, and then they were gone. And those who were kings, well, they lasted for so long, and then they were gone. Oh, we had a great... I remember back in, and we talk about the great
governor of Kentucky, and we throw out his name, but he only lasted so long. That's just the way it is. They don't last forever. And that's what he says about riches. They're not eternal. They don't last forever and ever. They're only temporary. And the most they ever last for anybody is one's lifetime. That's the most that you could get out of the riches that we have is for a lifetime. Because when we die, we leave it all behind. You take nothing with you. We come into this world absolutely with nothing. No clothes, no money, nothing. And we leave the same way.
And then we learn in the 28th chapter that money can be deceptive.
In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 11, it says, "The rich man is wise in his own conceit." Self-deceived gets the big head. "But the poor hath understanding, searcheth him out." Notice down in number 20. It says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Get overzealous to become rich. It's kind of like the language of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6. They that will be rich, that we are bent and we are so determined to become rich. So often what happens is that, well, we sort of cut corners and do things that's not honorable and right in order to gain those riches. Get hasty to become rich. And occasionally, sometimes, by good fortune, something good happens and they come into a lot of money quickly. That occasionally happens. Maybe you buy a farm. And, you know, they strike oil, you get lots of money. Occasionally, that type of situation will come up. You know, somebody comes up with a great idea and for whatever reason it just takes off. And, you know, times are booming. But so often people that become hasty great desire to become rich. They cut corners and do things that are dishonest. And then finally, in the book of Proverbs chapter 30, I really love this proverb because it gives us balance of really, really the best way to look at riches. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me or suitable for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Here you have a sharp contrast. Here you have the fellow way over here that's in deep poverty, and he just becomes bitter toward God, and he curses God, and he's just soured on life. Well, otherwise, we said, don't let me be over that far. I don't want to be way over there. And then here's the fellow over here that's just so well-to-do. He's got so much money and got everything that his heart desires and all that he wants, and he begins to think, well, you know, who's God? I don't need God. I mean, I've got everything I need. He says, now, I really don't want to be on that side either. He says, really, what I like to be is kind of more in the middle, kind of have the adequate provisions to be able to enjoy and go through life, not in the one extreme of great wealth, neither in the extreme of great poverty, but to have that which is sufficient. And so lots of proverbs that gives us financial wisdom of how to look at money in the appropriate ways that are described here from the wise man in the book of Proverbs. Money is a great servant. It is a great tool. But it is a horrible master. And nothing to be trusted in but to trust in the true and living God. We extend invitation with this question.
Do you have the true riches? You might have a pocket full of $100 bills. But I tell you what, that's not the true riches, because the true riches are the riches that are found in Christ Jesus. And those are most important, and those need to be priority one in the heart of each man and woman. We can hear the good news that Jesus died on the cross, that he became poor that we might be made rich. If we believe in the message of Jesus coming into this world and dying for it, if we will repent and turn, Jesus says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And number four, if we be willing to confess Jesus before men, as we see there in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then would we be willing to obey the Lord's command to be baptized for forgiveness? Acts 2 verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we obey these first principles, we will be adopted in the family of God and enjoy the rich spiritual blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come up out of that watery grave to grow and to seek the Lord. Seek those things which are above, as Paul talked about there in Colossians 3. The higher, nobler things of life that's most important in life. And if we err, whatever way it might be, would we come back through repentance and prayer, as we learn that Simon did there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, when he erred as a child of God. We're going to sing this song, your encouragement. Zion's call. It is going forth. People are being invited by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and enjoy the true riches that are found in Him. And if we could help or assist you to that end, you come and let us know while together as we stand and as we sing.